Sean O'Neill.
All right, guys, that one there. Anyway, just give a report to you guys and kind of let you ask questions and kind of figure out what's going on and just get a, you know, just kind of a feel of what we're doing at camp. So we're starting our 52nd year this year. This will be our 52nd camp season this year. This year we're looking at, I can give you a few quick numbers. Y'all going to get these before the board gets them. We're at 25% enrollment right now in January. We're 25% of where we were last year. So to be at the end of January, 25% is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So to reference that 25% number, where that puts us, at 25%, we were at 900 kids last year. We were at 870-something plus that we counted. So that's nearly a, you know, getting close to 1,000 kids. So we've got nearly 250 registrations right now. So we're looking this year at maybe even breaking the 1,000 mark, which is something. When we did the remodel and we put the air conditioning and stuff in and brought camp up to speed a little bit, that was our goal, was to get more kids there. The more kids you have there, the more camp can survive on its own. My goal as administrator, what I work with my finance committee with, is that camp tuitions pay for camp. Donations then are donations. We use them for improvements. We use them for whatever we have. Right now, we live on donations to pay for camp. We want to get it to a spot where camp paying for camp. Anybody that owns a business or works in business knows that the business got to pay for the business before it can pay for the everything else. So having said that, we've got a number that we're working out on that. It looks like the fruits of our labor are working out in that regards. By having the air conditioning stuff, the kids are coming in, it'll help bring in more revenue for camp. I don't want it to always be about revenue, but it's one of those sticky things you got to talk about. So 52nd year we're doing camp. We're looking, I'm hoping this year 1,200 kids. I'm hoping we break the 1,000 mark. That'll be... Well, Brother Robert's been involved with it longer. When was the last time we had nearly 700 kids? 800 kids?
Oh, I'm sure it's about 4 years or so time anyway.
Okay. So.
When you first came, we worked close to that, but not quite. I think I'd rather be interested in the type of things that you had to do as a new caretaker that Brother Danny did not have to do as a grandfathered in. There were a number of things that you had to do that would make it possible for camp even to open. Go ahead.
So some of the things we had to do with Brother Danny being a... Can y'all hear me? Okay, that's whispering in my ear.
Yeah. You can do that.
Maybe that'll work. Brother Danny had been grandfathered in several categories. When I took over, I got handed a packet of, I had to run down a packet of paperwork. It's called the Regulations for Running a Camp by the State of Mississippi. And it's about that thick. And in 1994, the State of Mississippi, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Child Welfare Division came in and they wrote a big pamphlet of what you got to do to run a camp. And the reason they did that is because a bunch of people get together and say, hey, let's make some money. We're going to stick a bunch of kids out here, not feed them, not take care of them, not give them a good place to be, and we'll call it a camp. And so we had to run through that, and one of the requirements was I actually had to go through a camp has it's not necessarily a license, but it's an accreditation group. It's called the American Camp Association. The American Camp Association is kind of a voluntary organization that you can get accreditation through for your camp, and they have a class that you have to go through. So I had to sit down and work through all these classes about what do you do at camp, and gets into a lot of psychology. It gets into a lot of, you know, obviously administrative stuff, but it gets into the psychology, dealing with kids, dealing with adults, dealing with campers, the whole nine yards. But you pass this class and they'll give you an accreditation to make you a camp director. And it's their camp director course. So it took me about 2 months to go through that because it's not something you can just breeze through. Secondly, we had to serve safe food certification. I had to go get a manager certificate for that. So that was one day. Of course, you had to study for that a little bit. And I was proud to get through that because our kitchen, for all that it is, When I took the test, I scored a perfect score on it, and the lady called me later and said, she said, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I've only had 5 people to score perfect on the test. Mm-hmm. So we may not have a beautiful kitchen, but at least we can have a clean, sanitary kitchen. Yeah. We get an A every year on our kitchen review. One thing coming up, this will be prior to me getting to talk to some of the board members about this, I have to do all the environmental reporting with the EPA and the DEQ. So the Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA, we have a wastewater treatments out there. So I have to go out and check that, and then I have to turn around and report every year to the EPA the numbers that we have. So it gets into E. coli testing, water clarity, cleanliness. It's a gray water discharge is what it is. The chlorine levels, so on and so forth. I have to do all the reporting for that for the EPA. And this year our guy's getting ready to retire. So pretty soon we're either going to have to find a Class 2 wastewater manager, which is hard to do, or I'm going to have to go take a class and become a wastewater manager level number 2. the myriad of things that I have to be, you can't just be. Everybody asks me what my job title is, and I tell them chief cook and bottle washer, because it's... You can rear back and say I'm the administrator, but that just it's you're everything from unstoppable.